Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, good evening and welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. I'm your host, Fran McNeil. And tonight, it is Wednesday, August the 17th of 2016. And joining me in the virtual studio is Cornell G. Green of 21st Century Communit IT Solutions. Cornell, welcome to the studio. How are you this evening?
Thank you so much. I'm doing very well, doing very well. Just to clarify, it's CommuneIT Solutions, combining community and IT.
CommuneIT. I saw that IT capitalized, and I knew it was a play on words. Thanks. Well, I'm so excited. I'm sitting here in Philadelphia. I know that you're in New York, and I know in a month or so you'll be headed off to France. So I'm so glad that I had an opportunity to catch you while you're kind of in one spot. Cornell, you have a fascinating story, and we met each other several years ago when you were taking a class for entrepreneurs, folks that wanted
to really get into the fast track new venture course.
Yes, that was
6 years ago now.
6 years. My, how time flies. Well, that's a perfect segue into my first question, and that is, what's the significant story behind you being an entrepreneur? Take us back.
Okay, so let's start back to before my entrepreneurial journey began, and that's a few years before we met. I had climbed the ladder of my IT career progression, which started in 1993. I was doing technical support at Lehman Brothers. Basically, I was the guy that monitored their backups, and I worked my way up to being a full-time system administrator. I worked at Payne Webber during the Y2K conversion, and finally, I ended up working at an architectural design firm as their IT manager. They had such luminaries as Steven Spielberg and Jerry Seinfeld, the United Nations, and W Hotel chain as their private clients, and I used to joke that my employers were millionaires whose clients were billionaires, so I wouldn't get laid off unless the entire economy crashed. Unfortunately, then came 2008, and that's what happened. And although they let 12 architects go before they let me go, so they saw the value of my skills, but, you know, the economy was going where it was going in 08 and 09. So I shot my resume. I got the first offer that wanted me to be IT manager, network administrator, database administrator, and help desk operator for 85% of what I made just as IT manager. So I scoffed and discarded that, figuring that was just ridiculous. When the fourth offer came in that was precisely like that, I realized that's where the market had gone. And I couldn't work that hard for that little compensation, so I decided to finish my LLC, and I went out and was independent. And believe it or not, as fate would have it, I got my first client as I was still transitioning from my full-time job. And as I say in the introductory chapter in my forthcoming book, that chapter is called 2 Years of Steady Referrals Almost Ruined My Business. And I say that because for 2 years, the phone rang consistently. And I would pick up the phone, and I would do the work, and I would get paid, and life was lovely. And I sort of felt, this is the way it's going to go. That first referral gave me referrals. I got referrals from referrals. And for 2 years, things steamed along almost as if I hadn't skipped a beat. And then the phone stopped ringing. And I learned two things very suddenly. That first, I didn't know what made the phone ring in the first place. And most importantly, I didn't know what I was selling. You know, 18 years of IT experience.
That's a little confusing.
Yeah, well, I knew what I was good at doing, but how do I sit in front of a business owner? And I chose to focus on small business owners with, you know, 10 or fewer staff size and businesses that maybe had been in business around 5 years, more or less. If they needed their data backed up, or if they had a virus that hit their machines and needed that cleaned up, or a website built, that they could call me up and say, can you do that? I would say yes, and I could do it. If I met a totally strange person, you know, at a networking event and handed them my card and they said to me, well, what do you do? I didn't have an answer for that, because I realized that for those 2 years, while I had been doing the work, I had not been doing the business of learning how to create an infrastructure that brought in enough work to sustain me. So I knew how to answer the phone and say yes, but I didn't know how to define what my market was, what my product was, how to price it, how to engage in those initial conversations to get someone interested in wanting to buy it. So not for nothing, the year after that was a very lean year, as I had to look at it. And fortunately, being an IT systems person by profession, I looked at the problem statement. I says, well, wait a minute. Business has to have certain fundamental components. So what are those, and what do I have to do to get enough mastery in those to sink and not swim? And so I set upon a discovery, and I also initially started working, doing presentations, because as you remember in the graduate session of the Fast Track course, we had to do a PowerPoint presentation, and I did one entitled yes. No More Death by PowerPoint on how to present an engaging one. So I was good at that, and I could infotain a room for a couple of hours and hand out some business cards. But what I saw from that was that there was a need of understanding of those fundamentals of business, that a lot of people, they had an idea, they knew they were good at something, but they really didn't know how to articulate that and turn that into a business. So I started initially trying to just hustle business for my break fix. I slowly started transitioning into more advisory and consultation in terms of those fundamentals. And I also developed from what I had learned for myself a curricular approach, which I call Small Business CPR, which stands for the three master fundamentals, which is consistency, predictability, and replication. Every business must consistently deliver quality, predictably deliver that quality product, and to grow and expand, they must replicate that predictable delivery.
Small Business CPR. Okay.
Yes.
So
and from
you
that,
learned a lot yourself, and what happened next?
Well, then I started working with a couple of local IT people like myself. We decided to, join ranks, strength, and numbers. We formed a consortium that we called BTI, for Blue Tech Initiative. And one of those partners, L. Ruby Thomas, who has a company, Gotcha Techs Harlem, she is a graduate of Operation Hope's entrepreneurial training program. So she was invited in September of 2012 to be a guest speaker at one of their sessions, the initial session for that cohort. So she asked myself and our other business partner to join her, and they liked our presentation to the extent that they invited us to participate in all of their cohorts, and it then expanded from just Harlem to Brooklyn and the Bronx. And I now lead the initial session of all of their cohorts, sometimes conduct two or three other sessions within the 12 weeks, and I attend all of the graduations. So I've been rebranding myself as a small business development specialist.
Wow. Tell me more about the book, because this connects to the book. Your rebranding
yes.
and your experience, yes. you're literally not bottling it up, but you're wrapping it up and making it available as a book.
Yes, yes. Well, the book is entitled Do Business Better, Why Small Businesses Fail and How Not To. And it grew out of, just like most people have a website because somebody told them, well, you should have a website. I read one of those articles that said, well, if you publish a book, you'd be a subject matter expert and you'll get more prestige and credibility, et cetera, and so forth. So I had been blogging, to no one but myself over the years on Blogger, which became Blogspot when Google bought it. And I had come across an article from an investment house, which was entitled Top 10 Reasons Why Small Businesses Fail. So it was just a one-pager with bullet points, 10 bullet points of what the various reasons were. And I looked at that and says, each one of those could be expanded into an individual post. So I created 10 articles from that and wrote a few other series. So flash forward to about a year ago, and I said, I should write a book. And in fact, it looks like I probably already have written a book. So I compiled those articles of the reasons that businesses fail, procrastination, customers, location, versatility, et cetera, and so forth. And, I said, okay, that looks kind of good, but I wasn't fully satisfied because all I had was an archive of previously published material, but I didn't have anything that someone reading the book could take away as an actionable understanding, something they could implement that could help them overcome it. Because, we've heard that statistic that within 5 years, 50% of startups will fail. The problem I always had with that statistic is that it leaves you paralyzed with fear that no matter what you do, you could be at it for as much as 5 years and you still would fail. When actually what the statistic is saying is that if we don't understand what the conditions of failure are and what they look like, then we probably won't recognize them until after they've already happened to our business. So what if we look at the reasons that businesses fail, understand what they are, and more importantly, figure out what to do about it? So after each post of the conditions of failure, I created three follow-up chapters, which I call the why, the what, and the how. You know, why are we discussing this? Why does it happen? Why is it significant to me? What am I supposed to do about it? And how am I supposed to get that done? So I try to give them more than an intellectual understanding, what I call the head nod understanding. You know, okay, I got it. And I try to turn that into what I call the sleeve roll understanding, where you want to roll up your sleeve because, like, I get it. Let me go out there and do it, get something done. And so I try to give tools. I try to give a method because going back to the initial presentations I did with Harlem Business Alliance in 2011, I started with two fundamentally ridiculous assumptions. The first was that, well, these are all entrepreneurs. They're clever people. So all I have to do is just give them a bunch of information, and they'll figure it out for themselves. And the second, even more ridiculous assumption was, well, they don't want me to tell them what to do. That would be condescending, wouldn't it? Actually, I found that's exactly what people want. They want the checklist. They want a cookbook. They want a toolkit. They want a step-by-step, how do I do it? You know, the average entrepreneur is already wearing seven hats simultaneously. They're the worker, the salesperson, the bookkeeper, collections, office manager, marketing, and customer service agent. And that's just on a slow day. So the last thing they need is another task to figure out how to do. It's like, don't make me think. Give me a list of things, these five things, and if I do those five things and check them off, I'm good. Fine. I trust you. You're the subject matter expert. Show me what to do. And so that is what I did with these follow-up chapters in the book, to take it from just a musing on reasons you could fail to how do you not fail. Because if logically, if these are the conditions of failure, if we negate those, then we have the conditions of not failure. And hopefully I can't guarantee that you'll succeed, but I can guarantee that you'll see the conditions of failure before they totally overrun your business.
Well, let's pause for a moment, repeat the name of the book slowly, and let folks know how they can find you on the web.
Okay, the book is entitled Do Business Better, Reasons That Small Businesses Fail and How Not To. And my website is communit.us, that is the word community, C-O-M-M-U-N-I-T, without the Y, .us. Instead of .com, so communit.us. And as of 24 hours from after this launches, I'm going to redesign my webpage so that when people come to it, there'll be a pop-up where they'll be able to give me their contact information, because the book is in the pre-launch phase. I hope to have that published by the end of this month, this being the month of August 2016. So if people want to put their name on a reserve list or just ask for a follow-up email notifying them when the book is available for sale, they'll be able to come there. And the first thing they'll see when they land on the website is a pop-in, and it'll just be a very brief form where they can give their information and opt in, and I'll keep them on the list and let them know when the book launches.
Excellent. And the book you're planning to launch on Amazon, so they'll be able to purchase it there as well, correct?
Yes, they'll be able to purchase it digitally and hard copy as well.
Ah, okay. So Kindle as well as paperback and hardback, or?
Yes. We'll keep it. Actually, I figured probably just paperback because, honestly, it's kind of more like a workbook. So I want it to be something that people would carry with them. And I'm going to have it printed up in the Foldable flat format. You know, so people could open up without worrying about cracking the spine. So if they want to open up to a particular page that might have a checklist on it or something for them, so they'd be able to actually use it. I want to see coffee stains and you know, ketchup smudges on it, because I want people to have it by their side, using it and getting some good utility from it, not just a coffee table book. If it's nice and pristine, it means you haven't been reading it.
Ah, the telltale signs. Well,
yes,
for now,
indeed.
I can tell that you're very passionate about your company and your mission and your vision. In fact, tell me a little bit about how you came up with the name of your business.
Well, you know, I have to confess, as I said, I was at the 18th year of my IT career when I finally got done in by the crash of 2008, and I almost kind of felt a little bit of what I call, for want of a better term, survivor guilt. You know, before I started my IT career, I was a musician in New Jersey. As you see me, I have long treads down to my waistline. And as I often say in my presentations, I didn't grow this hair to do computers on Wall Street. I was trying to be a musician and chase my rock and roll dreams. Finally, you know, in your 20s, that's fine. But in your 30s, couch surfing is not an acceptable sport. So had to straighten up and get a real world job. And I lucked into technology just as the internet was burgeoning, and I was working in the financial district, you know, for Lehman Brothers was my first job. So they had the resources, and I was just going up my first hire. Before they even hired me full-time, I was making almost twice what I ever made in my life. Then that went up by 40% when they hired me full-time, and I just kept going up. But I didn't see that kind of an increase in the community around me. And so I always felt that somehow I wanted to give back these skills that I'd learned, because as we know now, technology is the driver of the 21st century economy. We hear things about the digital divide, and we see these hackathons and coding skills being something very excellent. And believe it or not, despite the joke of the 80s and 90s, you can make money playing video games these days. And designing them as well. So technology is very important, but I look around Harlem, I look around Brooklyn, I look around the Bronx and parts of Queens, and I don't see communities of color sharing in the advantage that proper use of technology. You don't have to be a geek. You don't have to spend millions of dollars. As we were discussing earlier, computers are now commodity items. You can get a decent laptop for $300. But what are you doing with it? Are you using it to create the digital infrastructure of a stable and growing business, or are you simply surfing the web and checking your email? You know. So I wanted to be able to take these skills that I had learned in corporate IT and make them accessible to the mom-and-pop shop, to a local startup, to someone working out of their home. Because what I found, especially in my work with Operation Hope, is that small businesses directly support the families and communities that they're members of more so than larger companies. When you give your money to a local pizzeria or a local dry cleaners, that money is paying a college tuition, it's putting shoes on a kid, it's paying rent or a mortgage, it's feeding a family. It's not money going off to Cayman Islands or being put into some, you know, market fund. And I feel if you really want to change a community, you do what affects their local small businesses. So that's kind of both my contribution and also a way that I'm looking to find a profit.
Wonderful. Triple bottom line. Which kind of brings me to, given that mission, given that purpose, what's a significant story of a client where, you know, they've been really happy with the results that you've provided and the way that you've worked with them and helped them move forward in their business?
Well, I have someone from when I first went independent, back all the way back in 2010, a gentleman by the name of Hanif Russell. And initially, he had a business called Black Business Works, and this was a monthly networking breakfast for local community, you know, entrepreneurs of color in various diverse settings. So, you know, I again, this was right after I finished the Fast Track New Venture, and one of the things we learned is you got to get out there and network. So we, you know, formed a kinship and kept together all the years, and so that business faded, but he met a partner, and he now has a group called Caribbean Business Connections. And he is, you know, from the Caribbean Islands, as is his partner. And so they reached out to all of the Caribbean communities, and they have connections with a lot of the chambers of commerce in most of the Caribbean Isles. And they have, you know, networking events and membership. So he came to me. Actually, we met a few years later at a job fair at the Jacob Javits Center and reconnected. And he actually is my first customer for what I call my cash cow approach, which is an acronym that stands for Customer Acquisition Starts Here, Conversion Optimized Websites. Because almost everyone has a website, but the website is just like what I call a flyer. You know, it's four pages, a contact form, here's what we are, here's what we do. It looks the same as every other website. And it doesn't do what I've discovered are the three things that a website really needs to do to be effective, which is to connect with the interests and values of your prospective customers, to capture their focus and attention, and to convert clicks into contacts into customers. So I built a website for them, and I wanted to do several things. I wanted to have a website that looked good, that was responsive, so it displayed well on every type of thing, from a widescreen TV to a handheld smartphone, without building multiple versions of the website, and more importantly, that it is self-maintaining by the customer themselves. Because too many websites, you have to spend thousands of dollars for the person to build it, and then anytime you want to make any modification, you have to pay them again. I don't believe in nickel and diming people. As I say, I don't want to make money off of you. I want to do business with you. So they have built the site. It took a lot to customize it, but now they are able to update it, to add things, to change the schedule, to modify it, and they're adding more features. You know, now that they see, because I've built in a lot into it, And my concept of building these cash cow websites is I make them feature full because I'm not looking to make money off of selling the technology. The technology is commodity. You can expand a WordPress-based website just like you can add apps to your phones. The skill that you would pay for is understanding how to take these functions and put them in the service of your business. So I really make the website as a hub of my consulting skills so that nicely, can we make the website do this? Well, you can make the website do whatever you want in service to your business. So what do you want to do? You want customer engagement strategy? We've got built-in autoresponders. You want lead capture? We've got forms that will take the email address and scour the internet and build a profile automatically. So you now don't have an anonymous visitor. That's an actual person with their Facebook, their Twitter, their LinkedIn, Pinterest, whatever is out there. So now as you seek to engage them, you're not engaging click number five of the day, you're engaging an actual person with a name and a history. So it gives you the ability to more serve your customers. And all of this through the technology, it's already there. These functions already exist. The problem is that the 20th century model, it's how big an invoice can I write the person? I'm looking at a recurring stream of revenue and an ongoing business relationship. I don't want to make all the money off of you now. And I'm a small business like all of my clients. So I know what's affordable to them. Charging somebody $5,000 to build a website, it's unnecessary. Most of the technology is already there. I'd rather charge an affordable price, and then you pay me to consult with you to expand it and enhance it and make it do more and more of what you want to do. And also, as you educate yourself, what is a customer engagement strategy? How do I tie it in with a Facebook, you know, post that then directs them to a specially designed landing page that has a form that is then going to convert and add them to an autoresponder campaign that's going to send them out a series of emails that keep them in the sales conversation and move them closer and closer towards a buying decision?
Wow.
And it's a more patient attitude.
Clear.
Yes. And it's a little longer, and it's a longer sales cycle than to get all the money up front, but I believe that in the long run, it's going to be more profitable and more sustainable because, again, as I said, CPR, replication, once this is in motion, this is a model that I can replicate. There's a lot of young people out there who have IT skills, who have web skills because they're growing up with tablets in their hands. Well, where is the factory job? Where is the mailroom of the 20th century? It's technology. So rather than have these kids simply wasting their time idly on Facebook or Pinterest or whatever, find a mechanism where they can be hired to support these local businesses. I can set up the websites for them, and then they can hire someone, obviously, at a lesser fee than you'd have to charge me for my expertise and experience. But this is going to also create a model of employment throughout the community. So not simply just a profit center for myself. I'm really looking to do good things and make a dollar at the same time. I don't see them as mutually exclusive.
Oh, Cornell, wonderful, wonderful. We are quickly approaching our limit on the interview. I do want to ask you a final question. What advice would you share, given your experiences, to other entrepreneurs about achieving significant business results?
Well, if I had one thing to say, I would say focus on the fundamentals. No matter how good you are at what you do, people don't hire you because of your experience. People hire you because there's a desire that you satisfy or a need that you fulfill. And like I did not understand in my first 2 years, you have to understand that your business is selling your skill. So you have to find out where your market is. You have to find out what they value. You have to find out what you can offer them that is of greater value than the price that you're asking for. And you have to be genuine in a sense of service. Once you know who you serve and what value you bring to them, I see that as the key to providing significant business results. And do we have time to mention my trip to France? I know we kind of got into
Absolutely.
A lot of other things.
Absolutely. We have a
yes.
few moments. Yeah. Let's talk about that and how it all connects.
Because of the work that I've been doing with the entrepreneurial training programs with Operation Hope, there's a group from France called Muse DT, and they are looking to bring the entrepreneurial savvy from the United States to France. So they're having a two-day entrepreneurial forum September 19th and 20th, and I will be it's the 20th and the 21st, September 20th and 21st, and I'm being flown out, courtesy of the U.S. Embassy and the French Ministry of Finance, to be one of the expert panelists speaking, interestingly enough, on small business failure. So, yes, the fact
That's
that it might be
exciting.
A chance to promote my book and speak to something that I've been making my subject of expertise, I'm very excited. I'm flattered. This is the payoff. And another thing, all of the work that I do with Operation Hope, I don't charge anything for that. But this is something that actually I learned in the Fast Track, among other places, is that you have to, especially when, like myself, you're reinventing yourself, you have to establish your reputation, your credibility. So some of that might not be directly compensated, but I would say this is quite a payoff to be flown to another country to speak as a respected subject matter expert, and of course to have an opportunity to promote both my expertise and my book. I'm certainly not mad at that.
That's excellent. Cornell, congratulations. Continued success. Would you share with folks one more time the name of your book, how they can get in touch with you?
Yes. Okay, the book is entitled Do Business Better, Why Small Businesses Fail and How Not To. And my website is communit.us, that's communit.us. And as of the 18th of August, which will be tomorrow as of the day after this broadcast, when you go to the website, there will be a pop-in, which will be a form where you can add, fill out the form, and you'll be put on a list to be notified when the book comes available for sale. And obviously, once the book is published, then there will be content on the website to take you directly to buying it either on the website, or it will also be available for purchase on Amazon, either digitally or in hard copy. And I expect that to be done by the end of the month. So before I go to Europe, I will have the book published.
Excellent, excellent. And then, of course, you're going to be keeping us posted on Facebook and other venues about your trip. Right?
Yes, I'm starting well in advance, probably before even the month of September is upon us. I'll be having a countdown to the book's publication and, of course, publishing widely and broadly links for being able to purchase that. And then towards the last week of me getting on the plane, because they're flying me out a few days early on the 16th, I will have a countdown. And, of course, I will be periscoping or whatever I manage to do and having some real-time blogging and updates from France itself.
Oh, terrific. Well, one of the things I would ask you to consider is having the book published in French as well, so that you can sell it right there. My book is published in three languages, English, French, and Spanish, for that very reason, so that when I travel, I'm able to offer the book in the native language.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Something to consider.
Yes, definitely. I will,
and there
definitely
are translation
that
services that we can talk about offline.
Okay. So. Okay, yes, that will be very good, because I was about to say, who do I get to translate my book in French? But
we will
have a conversation.
Talk about that.
Yes, indeed.
Well,
thank you.
Cornell,
that's an excellent suggestion,
friend. Again for being a guest. Oh,
well, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
It is my pleasure.
I want to continue to see you succeed. Well, have a great evening, and I look forward to continuing to follow you. And, again, best wishes.
Thank you so much, and continued success with the program.
Thank you.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders, hosted by Fran McNeil, president of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significantbusinessresults.